May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Thank you. We deacons have no seminary education. You probably could tell that. We don't go to school to be a deacon. We don't grow up thinking, someday I'm going to grow up and be a deacon. In fact, when I was a kid, I didn't even know what a deacon was. For a while, I was just like you folks, sitting out there, worshiping the Lord, listening to sermons, singing, enjoying the fellowship, and the coffee hour, especially the coffee hours. You've seen me down there. But then someone comes along and says, usually someone from the nominating committee comes along and says, I'd like you to pray about becoming a deacon. In my case, Brother Rick came to me and asked me that. I said, me? A deacon? I don't even know what a deacon is. But we talked. He shared with me notes of meetings and job descriptions, and we talked about it, and I prayed about it. And well, long story short, here I am. It was a few weeks after I was accepted as a deacon that Brother Rick came to me again and said, oh, by the way, when Pastor is not here, we deacons fill in and preach a sermon for him. What? You want me to preach? Well, I prayed and prayed and prayed about that. When my time was here to do a sermon, I was at a loss. One night I got up at 3 a.m. to answer nature's call, and I couldn't get back to sleep. And while I was laying there wide awake, the Lord flooded my head with the 23rd Psalm, what it meant, how to interpret it, how to explain it, and on and on and on. I got up that morning and I went to the computer and wrote down everything I could remember from that. And over the next couple of days, I'd be driving and more information would come in. Needless to say, I got through that first sermon. We're a little more advanced now when we have a calling to pray, or to preach, I should say. We talk with the pastor. We get an idea what it is we want to talk about. We create an outline of our sermon, give it to Pastor Ron. He reviews it, makes suggestions, changes, guides us, helps us. We flesh it out. He approves it, and we're ready to go. I went through that with him, and I was ready today to talk about the Lord's Prayer. As most of you know by now, SuperNet passed on Monday. Thursday morning, the Lord said, scratch that, I got another idea for you. I got up at 2 o'clock, answered nature's call, couldn't get back to sleep, and the Lord started filling my head with what we're going to talk about today. Now, the Lord doesn't say, hey, Bart, I want to tell you this or I want you to do that. It's just that all of a sudden, these things come into my head, these thoughts come into my head, thoughts that I know are not mine, that I would not have thought of. So it was Thanksgiving morning, 3 o'clock. I'm getting all this information. Sometimes I wish you would talk to me at 1 o'clock instead of 3 o'clock in the morning. But he said, you're too distracted by what's going on in the world at 1 o'clock to listen to me. And that got my attention, because I am distracted by the world. So long story short, this sermon has not been reviewed by Pastor Ron, has not been approved by him. We've not gone over it. So bear with me as I try to go through this. You've all heard the expression, life is short. Better enjoy it. Well, my sermon message today is eternity is long. Better prepare for it. How long is eternity? Think of a million billion years, and that's just the beginning. Now, if I asked each and every one of you individually where you are going when that time comes when you leave this earth, I know most all of you would say, I'm going to heaven. Some of you might qualify it and say, I think I'm going to heaven, or I hope I'm going to heaven. But you may have some nagging doubts. Did I do enough good? Did I give enough to charity? Did I love my neighbor enough? And on and on. Well, let's look at what the Bible says about that. We'll start with Genesis 15:5. This was the time when God came to Abraham and told him that he and Sarah would have a son. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Now, at this time, Abraham was about 100 years old and his wife Sarah was 90 years old. And she laughed. And God heard her laugh. But fast forward a year or so and they had a son. And a couple of hundred years later, Abraham's descendants were now a nation of 1 million people or more. They were slaves in Egypt at the time. Life was rough. They were making bricks. They were being beaten because they didn't make enough bricks or make them fast enough. And they prayed to God. God heard and sent Moses to lead them out of Pharaoh. We're studying this in Sunday morning Bible study right now. So Moses takes them out into the desert where they wander for 40 years. And while they're out there, in Exodus 20, God gives them the Ten Commandments to live by. Now, these are not 10 suggestions. These were 10 commandments. 10 simple rules to live by to ensure salvation. Well, we know how that went. They didn't stick to the commandments. They didn't live by the rules. They continued to sin. They made animal sacrifices every year to atone for their sin. But they just didn't keep the commandments. God would send them into exile because of their rebellion. And when times got tough, they would pray to him again. And he would restore them and make them a great nation. And they'd rebel and turn from him again, and he'd exile them again. And they'd pray to him, and he'd restore them. And that happened several times. And let's fast forward a couple thousand years. Then along comes Jesus. Now, despite all the miracles that Jesus did, all the teaching he did, all the healing he did, even raising Lazarus from the dead, most of the Jews still did not believe. In fact, they gave him up to be crucified, rejected Pilate's offer to set him free, and instead demanded that a murderer be released in his place. So Jesus was crucified, dead, buried, and on the third day he rose. But in doing so, he promised us eternal life. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life. Let's look at some scriptures from the New Testament. We'll start with John 4:13. This was when Jesus met the woman at the well in Samaria. And she questioned him, and he answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Later on, after his resurrection, he met with his disciples, one of whom was Thomas, who at first didn't believe that Jesus was resurrected until he saw him with his own eyes and put his fingers in the nail holes. And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Later on, Paul, writing in Romans 10:9, said, "But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is to bring Christ down from above. Or 'Who will descend into the abyss?' That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart.' That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you confess to Jesus that he is the Son of God, believe in that, you will be saved." Now, actually, in researching this, I found there were three ways to get into heaven. I thought there was only one way. First, if a young child who has not reached the age of accountability, doesn't know right from wrong, hasn't heard the word, if a young child dies, they go directly to heaven. Secondly, you can be perfect, live a sin-free life, and you'll get to heaven. Well, that ship has sailed. I don't think any of us can board it. And the third, of course, is give your heart to Jesus. You give your heart to Jesus. Not by works are you saved, but by faith and belief and confession. Again, Paul is writing to the Ephesians in 2:8. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." And again, one of the best examples for me is the thief on the cross. Luke speaks of that in 23:42-43. As you recall, there were two thieves on crosses on each side of Jesus, one of whom was cursing him and saying things like, "Well, if you're God, save yourself, save us." And the other one said simply, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now, that thief never went to church or synagogue, as they had back then. He was never baptized. He never made restitution for anything that he stole. He didn't do any good deeds. He never contributed to a charity. All he did was trust in Jesus. And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." That's it, folks. Let's look at Romans 10:9 again. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And again at John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Hard to believe. All you have to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God, confess your sins to him, and give your heart to him. And you're going to heaven, folks. You're going to heaven with me and with most of you in here. But if you have not yet done that, if you're not yet 100% sure that you're going to heaven, please call or text me. My number come up there. There it is. 585-953-3214. I'd love to tell you about my Jesus and how he changed my life. I came to him 15 years ago. Prior to that, I had no clue. Prior to that, Jesus Christ was just another cuss word for me. But he changed my life. And I know where I'm going. And you can too. So if you have any doubts, feel free to give me a call or a text and we'll get together and talk about it. Let us pray. Father God, your gift of salvation seems incredible to us. This is Christmas season. We give gifts to each other. We get gifts from other people. But we don't think about it that way. We think we have to earn our way to heaven. We have to work hard. We have to be loving of our neighbors. We have to contribute to charity. We have to do good deeds. But you have made it clear, all we have to do is believe. And you will give us the gift of salvation. We thank you for that, Lord. All praise and glory to you. Your will be done. Amen.